Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, everybody makes mistakes, but making them in retirement can be truly costly and really should be avoided. So on today's show, we're going to cover five of the most common blunders people can make, and we're going to give you some suggestions as to how you can avoid them.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Hey, welcome in. This is Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. I'm Steve Siddall. Kevin is, he's an advisor with more than 30 years in this business, independent fiduciary. You'll find him at silverleaffinancial.com and so much more. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, we're doing great, Steve. Always good to be here and looking forward to another sunny day in Arizona.
Well, you were telling me just a minute ago that, it went from winter to summer.
Yeah, it seems to. You know, I would have liked more days, you know, in the 75 to 85 range.
Right.
Know? But we kind of shot right up there. So yeah, it's heating up out here in the desert. But hey, that's part of the reason we moved here is because we love the sunshine.
Sure, absolutely. And we're going to dig into things. I like retirement blunders. That just sounds fun. We don't want to make those blunders. And, you know, there are no hard and fast rules. We've talked about that many times, Kevin. But there are mistakes that we should avoid. And the first one's got to be the right one is thinking you can beat the market. And remember, the only one who can is Warren Buffett.
No,
he can't either.
Right? And it's, yeah. There is very, very few people that can beat the market consistently over time. That's what people forget is some people come to this conclusion that they trade a couple of stocks and they make some money and now they think they can beat the market. And even the pros that have been doing this for decades and decades and the people that have billions of dollars that hire dozens and dozens of data scientists and computer guys to try to figure out what's the best investment and how to make the most money, they can't really beat the market consistently either. And I think it's important that everybody remember that the trick is, as I mentioned, the consistency. So it's one thing, you know, if you made some money on a tech stock, that's great, more power to you. But the challenge is because we have sector rotation, right? Tech stocks will be the top performer, or lately energy stocks have been picking up. And we get a rotation amongst the different sectors. And we could have a year like 2022 where both stocks and bonds went down double digits. So don't buy into that too much. You know, if you're feeling confident about your ability, then I certainly wish you the best of luck and I hope it keeps working for you. But the odds are that most people are not going to be able to beat the market. And so what we really try to do is to minimize the risk, try to lower the volatility, take less risk to try to still get market returns. That's what I think you have a better shot at, is maybe lowering the volatility, lowering the risk, and still being able to get close to market returns. And so if that's something you're interested, just give me a call. I'll be happy to go through how we're doing it here.
Sure. 800-975-6717 if you want to get a head start. Folks, do that. So we're talking about retirement blunders that we need to avoid. Again, thinking you could beat the market, not a good idea because you can't. This is another one that can be a serious problem, especially, you know, going through the pandemic. I know a lot of people went to cash and, you know, it really, they may still be in cash.
You know, I think you're right. And the numbers indicate that a lot of people are. I believe the latest number that I saw was over $5 trillion in cash. And
oh,
so,
my gosh. Are you kidding me?
No, it's a ridiculous amount. They cited that on CNBC earlier in the week. And that's why a lot of investors, professional investors and traders, feel confident in the strength of the market is because they're looking at all the cash on the sidelines and they say there's so much dry powder out there just waiting for the signal to go back in the market, kind of like the waiting for the all clear signal. And unfortunately, guys, there's never going to be one. There's never going to be an all clear, just like nobody's going to ring the bell at the top and say this is the top, you should get out now. Unfortunately, those things don't happen. But if you're all in cash, it's like the polar opposite of the stay-at-home day trader that thinks he can beat the market, right? Mm-hmm. The person that's all in cash is probably in that position because they're afraid of losing money, right? And so what I would say is this is also something else we can talk about, guys, because I can get you between 5.5% and 6% guaranteed return right now. Guaranteed, no fees, no risk. You know, it's just black and white. It's a guaranteed return. And so if a 5% or 6% return would help you to meet your goals and would satisfy what you're trying to do, then maybe you don't have to take the risk of the stock market. Because in my opinion, the stock market is to build wealth, all right? Not to preserve it. If you want to preserve wealth, there's a lot safer ways to do that. So to me, the stock market is about building wealth, which means you're taking risk in order to seek double digit or better returns. That's my view of the market. Because again, we can get 6% risk-free. So the market's long-term average returns are in the 9% plus or minus range, depending on the time frame you look at. So you get 2/3 of that return guaranteed right now with no risk at all. So I believe keeping all your money in cash would be a horrible move right now. Worst case scenario is to have it in money markets that you can get 4.5%, 5% on, and it maintains its liquidity. So at least then you're seeing some growth and you should be staying ahead of inflation. But ideally, you know, to keep up and to outperform inflation, you probably want to have some stock exposure going forward.
All right. That makes a lot of sense, Kevin, the way you lay it out. So we're avoiding mistakes. We've avoided two now, the beating the market, keeping your money in cash. This one is fun because I think a lot of people think, you know, if they put a lot of money in a bunch of places and then kind of take it out the same way, that means they're diversified, and they're
right.
Really not.
No, they're really not. And you know, this is a mistake. Brokers make it. Other financial advisors make this mistake too. And I'll tell you, I've seen examples of it myself personally in my career. And there was one client that was probably, oh my gosh, coming up on 20 years ago now, that I met when I was still in Illinois. And he had retired from Caterpillar, and he had about $700,000. And he went to a broker at a big, you know, brand name company. And this broker bought him 7 different mutual funds. They were all had a front end load at that time, which was like 4% to 5%, maybe 5.5%. But he bought them these 7 different mutual funds, all in different fund families. And one of the and what he did was he was looking at the performance in the late 90s when a lot of large company growth stocks, if you think back to Cisco and Microsoft and some others back in the day that were great performers, that's what he picked. And so what this client had was 7 different mutual funds thinking he's diversified. And then the market crashed between, you know, he did this in the late 90s and then 2000, 2001, 2002, he got crushed. He lost almost half his money. And I sat down and I did an analysis, and I can analyze your mutual funds, and I do something that's called an intersection report. And I can do this intersection report, and it'll tell me of your 7 different mutual funds what the stocks are that each one of those funds owns and in what percentage. And then I can show you, hey, all 7 of your funds own the exact same stocks. And
whoops.
That's right. Whoops.
Yeah.
Not really diversified, are we? Right. They all own Microsoft. They all own Cisco. And when the market crashed, those stocks came down hard, and he was not diversified, and he lost a lot of money. And unfortunately, you know, I guess maybe fortunate for me, that's how I found a new client, but unfortunate for him, he had to go through a big loss before he before we ever connected. And so make sure you you've got to look under the hood. All right. Just buying different mutual funds or now different exchange traded funds. There are thousands of exchange traded funds now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy. In fact, I believe there's more funds than there are stocks. And so you got to ask yourself about that.
Say that again. There's more ETFs than there are stocks.
I'm putting together mutual funds and ETFs.
Okay.
And I'm saying between the two, I'd bet you there's more than there are stocks.
I'll bet there are. I bet you're right.
Because one of the issues in the last 20 years is there's a lot fewer IPOs. So there's a lot fewer companies going public, especially over the last couple of years. Very few companies went public. And other companies are taken private or what have you. And so the total number of stocks listed on the exchanges, I believe, is lower than it has been in a long, long time. And so not only with funds, though, there's also leverage funds. You can get double and triple the movement on anything from volatility to individual stocks. There are ETFs that are targeting individual stocks, you know, like NVIDIA. You can buy an ETF that targets it, or any number of other companies that are out there. There were funds out there that would target other mutual fund companies. And I'm referring to the ARK family of funds. There were some ETFs that came out that were targeting Jim Cramer's recommendations from Mad Money on CNBC.
Oh, okay? My gosh.
So you name it, you can find a fund for it, find an investment for it, all right? But you want to sit down and you got to do the analysis, though, to make sure they're not buying the same things. If they're buying the same things, what's the point in having a different fund, right? And the whole idea behind diversification is that ideally, you know, once something is zigging, then the other is zagging, for lack of a better right, right? So you don't want everything going down together. You don't want everything going up together. They should be offsetting each other. And that is actually the reason why people traditionally split between stocks and bonds, with the idea being that they should behave differently. They should not be they should not have a positive correlation. But unfortunately, they've become a lot closer correlated than they used to be. And you can just look at the calendar year of 2022, when stocks got crushed, 25-30%, depending on which area of the market you look at. I believe NASDAQ was down like 35%. And I believe the aggregate bond index was down 18%. So you could have had a diversified portfolio, split 50-50 stocks and bonds, you still had a 20% loss in that calendar year. And so if that's where you're at, maybe you need additional assets. Maybe you should look at real estate, maybe look at annuities, right? Those will perform differently. And guys, annuity, it is not a bad word. I can show you some beautiful contracts that you can make up to 10% a year with no risk of loss. I can show you some investments that, if the market is positive at all, you make 9%. So if it's up 1%, 2%, 5%, 10, 20, 30%, you make 9%. If it's up at all, you make 9%. If it's down, you don't lose a penny. So that is one of the things I really like. It's something new, came out a few years ago. It is called a trigger index, or a trigger rate. And the way it works, if there's any positive movement at all in the S&P 500 index, you would get paid 9% to your account. No fees. And if the market is down, you don't lose a dime. So it's an alternative that's out there that's easy to understand. And I believe if you backtest it and look at how it would have done, you'd have seen decent returns with that. I can show you these contracts that have come very close to market returns with no risk of loss. So there are alternatives out there, guys. You just have to have an open mind to looking into them and evaluating them with an open mind. All right. Now, annuities are not for everybody, but they certainly do have a place in a lot of portfolios.
Sure. Boy, and again, it's complicated, isn't it, Kevin? I mean, it just gets a little, you know, and that's where you come in. You're that voice of calm, the voice of reason. You're independent, fiduciary. Oh, that's such a relief.
thank you. I appreciate that, Stephen. And guys, it is, you know, the reason why I went independent, I wasn't independent my entire career. I ran a branch that ultimately, through acquisition, I think we changed our name 5 or 6 times in the 90s. We kept getting bought by a different company and bought by a different company and bought by a different company. By the end of the 90s, we were owned by Wachovia. And then in the early 2000s, we got taken over by Wells Fargo Bank. And so I ran the branch in Chicago for over 10 years, from 1993 to 2003. And the branch, the company, the corporation that oversees your broker, the brokerage force, they're the ones that decide what the brokers can recommend In other words, what mutual funds they can recommend, because the company has to sign what's called a selling agreement, okay? And they have to have a contractual agreement in place that allows their advisors to recommend these products, whether it's a mutual fund or an annuity or any number of other things. Those agreements have to be in place, and most companies don't have them with everybody. And so what happened to me, I had a situation where I met a client, and he liked the solution that I gave him, but it was with a company that wasn't on our shelf, so to speak. So in other words, there was no agreement in place for me to provide this to the client. And I brought it to the company, I brought it to the bosses, and I said, hey, this has got some of the best guarantees out there from one of the oldest companies in the world. It was called Aviva at that time, which has roots going back to the 1700s.
Holy cow.
In Europe, okay? And so this company had this client wanted to convert everything into a Roth IRA. This is back when the government gave us 3 years to convert. You could spread the tax bill over 3 years. That was like 15 years ago. But this death benefit had a guaranteed growth rate of 8%. Guaranteed. And at that time, rates were not nowhere near 8%. And so he planned to convert everything to a Roth, which is over $1 million. And he wanted to leave it to his kids tax-free with the best guarantee he could find. He could not pass life insurance underwriting because of medical conditions. But there's no underwriting with an annuity's death benefit. So that's what I suggested. He loved it, wanted to do the whole thing. And I took it to my back office, and they evaluated, and they said, no, we don't think so. Why don't you recommend one of our products? And I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, why wouldn't they want to do this? So, well, we have plenty of these products on our shelf already. And I said, they don't offer the same benefits. Well, that's our decision. And so that's when I had to make the decision, do I offer him something less attractive, or do I quit this place? Do I leave and go off on my own so I can do what I thought was right for this client? I chose the latter.
You said,
take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Well, that was it, right?
Oh, man, that was great timing right there. Yes, that was it. I said, I am out of here. I'm done. I'm not going to play this. I'm not going to go to a client and tell him that I'm a fiduciary and that I'm doing everything I can. I'm recommending the best thing when I know it's not. That's just not how I'm not going to operate that way. If I tell somebody it's the best thing, it's because I've researched it and it is truly the best that I can find. But I'm not going to BS anybody or bullshit anybody about it. Unfortunately, there are plenty of brokers and advisors that do that. And that's what gives the name. Sometimes some people in the industry give it a bad rap. So if you feel like you're talking to somebody that's not being straight with you, please give me a call. I'm happy to give you the facts, whether you like them or not. I'm going to tell you the straight story. That's simply how I operate. And I think that's the reason why clients have stuck with me for decades, is because they know that I truly do care, and they know that I'm going to treat them honestly and with integrity.
800-975-6717. You want to reach out to Kevin, or you can just visit the website, silverleaffinancial.com. Silverleaf, like the tree, leaffinancial.com. Lots of great information there, Kevin. The radio shows or the podcasts are all there. You've got also some great, essentially exercises that you can do. You've got a lot of different charts on there. I mean, it's deep.
Oh, thank you. You know what, guys? Please check out the website. We try to update it all the time. We're putting fresh new content up there all the time. There's a lot of resources, a lot of educational resources about investing, about retirement accounts, you name it, about finance. And you can probably find something on my website under the resources section. And as Steve mentioned, there's videos, there's articles you can read there, and there's books. I've got books that are free of charge. All you have to do is request one that are right on the homepage of my website. And I'll give you some of the basics about retirement planning and some of the things, the process that we go through as we're meeting somebody and going through the process of setting up a retirement plan. So please take advantage of it at silverleaffinancial.com. So I was just going to say, Steve, one of the other mistakes is steering clear of the savings, right?
So what does that mean?
You know, I tell you exactly what it means. I've met, there is a book out there that was written a long time ago called The Millionaire Next Door.
I remember.
And what that book was about was for people in sales, and is basically telling us, don't prejudge somebody based on the clothes that they wear or the car that they drive or the way that they talk or the house they live in. In other words, there's a lot of people that have some real money, but they don't look like it. Okay. Their house might be in disrepair. They're probably wearing clothes that are 20 years old, and they could be driving a car that's 20 years old, and maybe they don't talk like they're very educated. All right. But the moral behind that book is that a lot of people do have these assets because they've scrimped and they've saved their entire life. And once they get into that habit of saving, and I'm seeing it myself now because I pinch every penny as tight as I can. And if I can, my wife cuts coupons for the grocery store, and I'm looking at every discount, like over Christmas holidays, I'm looking at every restaurant that I like to see if they've got a deal on gift cards where I can save 10 or 20% by buying some gift cards. And I stock up on 6 months worth of gift cards, and because it gets me 20% off, 30%, sure, 40% off. So why wouldn't I do that? The issue though with folks, when they say steer clear of your savings, it's that people have been saving for so long and they've got such a strong mindset about saving, that they have trouble making the transition to spending the money that they've worked so hard to save all their life. And they steer clear of it. They don't want to spend it because it's just not how they're wired, right? And so it can be very uncomfortable for somebody that's spent 40 years focused only on saving and growing their money. And now I'm going to say, you know what, Mr. Jones, you can start spending that money. And some of them look at me like I'm crazy or something. And it's like, what are you talking about? Why would I want to spend it? And what I tell everybody is that once we go through the numbers and I know you've got sufficient assets and I know you've got enough to do everything you want to do, then I'm going to encourage you to have some fun. All right, guys, we can't take it with us. None of us are going to live to be 500, right? I don't think anyone's even going to live to be 150. Pretty sure. Okay. And so if you have plans to leave it to charity or to your kids or grandkids or fund a scholarship or something like that, that's fantastic. I'd still encourage you to have some fun. Enjoy yourself while you can, because once you get older in life, when you get to those no-go years that people call the 80s and beyond, you might not feel like going anywhere or doing anything. So take advantage of it. Travel, visit the kids, do whatever it is you like to do, when you're younger, and have some fun. You know, you earn the money. I say you enjoy it too.
I think that's great advice. And folks, it's we've been going through some things here that mistakes to avoid. How about this next one? Feeling trapped by real estate. I know you're a big fan of real estate.
You know what? I think real estate can be a great investment. It can be a great investment. I have both made money and lost money in real estate. But the beautiful thing about real estate is if you're a believer in what some people say OPM, other people's money, meaning the leverage, right, with real estate. You can put 20% down, 30% down, and you can borrow the rest of the money. And if you have, if you buy, I don't know, a $300,000 house and you put down $75,000, right? So you're borrowing 2.25, and now your $300,000 house turns into $400,000, right? You actually made a $100,000 profit on a $75,000 down payment, right?
Yes.
You don't get that leverage with other investments. And so the beauty of it when it works and when you make money is that leverage that you got, because you can make nice profits off of borrowing the money. However, we've seen real estate downturns. I am not a real estate expert by any stretch, all right? But I do think it's a good way to hedge a portfolio. So what I like to do is, if you're familiar with real estate investment trusts, all right, these, you can get them that are publicly traded. Be really careful, guys, by the way. If anybody is talking to you, if a broker talks to you about a private offering, it could be a registration, they might call it a 144 offering or a private placement, okay? In other words, these don't trade publicly yet on the markets. And so they will sell it to you via prospectus and the sales documents. And these are private offerings, and they'll say they're going to go public in the future, the plan is to go public, or maybe they'll get acquired by another company. Because what you want to know is your exit, right? Because unless you either get acquired or taken public, how are you going to get your money back? How are you going to profit? Okay, the problem with the private offerings is that you might think going into it, you're going to be into it for 3, 4, or 5 years. It could wind up being 15 or 20 years.
There's no way out?
And there's no way out, okay? Or it might be never. I have some private offerings that I've seen from 15, 16, 17 years ago that were supposed to be between 5 and 7 years, and they're still locked up in them.
Oh my gosh.
So be careful with those. This is why I don't recommend private offerings. I stick with public. So I like, if you look at public real estate investment trusts, now there is sometimes different taxation, different tax treatments. You need to be aware of that. And a lot of these pay real nice dividends though. So there are different ways to diversify. There's also other funds out there that I like that are using something called the covered call strategy, which gets a little complicated. But the idea behind it is to give you some downside protection or give you some high dividend play to offset any volatility. So I can show you some that are tied to the S&P 500 that have got returns very close to the S&P 500 that right now are paying between 8% and 9% dividends. And so something like that is very attractive to me. It's nice cash flow. You've got a little bit of a hedge if there's some volatility to market because you're getting that income from it. And over the long term, it's going to track the S&P 500 index. So that to me is something that looks very attractive that most people don't find on their own.
And again, so the real estate investment trust that, you'll go to the back of, like Wall Street Journal and there's a lot of things in there along those lines, isn't there?
Yes, there is. There's a lot of them. And if you guys think about it for a minute, then you probably realize a lot of real estate investments have really taken a beating over the last several years because of COVID and the pandemic. A lot of them, especially in the commercial area. Now, remember, real estate covers a broad gamut, right?
Yes.
I mean, you could have residential real estate. You've got commercial real estate like your office buildings. And then you've got things like distribution centers like FedEx and Amazon distribution centers, logistics centers. There's all sorts of different types of real estate. And then within office space, you have your different ratings of buildings. You know, you got your highest rating rated buildings, the big, beautiful ones with water fountain in the lobby. And then you've got your lower class, older buildings that aren't as beautiful. And so a lot of the commercial real estate has really gotten beaten up because of the pandemic. So many people not coming to work or going to work like they used to. And that's caused a lot higher vacancy rates than we've seen in a long time. So those are the types of risks that can be, the economic risks that might hit them might have nothing to do with a particular development or a particular manager, but it could hit the entire economy, which as a lot of times, when the entire economy gets hit, pretty much everything gets hit. So that's why you don't want to have everything in one spot. You want to be diversified in case something unexpected comes out of left field. You've got other investments that are working for you, and you can stay invested through the downturn with the hope that over time it's going to come back and make you money.
I like it. Just to wrap things up here, Kevin, I found this, any number of things where, stuff happens on this day or this week. So it was this week in 1935, Congress was trying to get us out of the Great Depression. They created the Works Progress Administration, or WPA. It went on to employ more than 8 million people. We're not there yet, are we?
Ooh, my gosh. No, 8 million people?
Yeah. No, we don't need that right now.
I don't believe so.
No, it's 89 years ago, but that was, that was a big deal, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No question about it. I mean, that was around the same period of time they created Social Security too.
Exactly. 1935. Yep.
Yeah. And Social Security is something we've talked about many times on the show. Something people consider and that you should consider very seriously is when to claim your Social Security. And most of us know you can claim it as early as 62, in which you would get a much smaller check than if you waited till your full retirement age, which for most people is either 66 or 67, where you get your quote unquote full benefit. And then if you defer it longer and you wait until 69 or 70, 70 is the latest age at which you want to claim because there's no benefit to waiting past 70. But that would get your highest benefit. That's roughly 30% bigger than if you claimed at your full retirement age. And so we want to make sure we focus on the timing of when you claim, because one thing I do recommend, if you're a married couple, especially if there's a big disparity between the higher earner and the lower earner, the higher person that has the higher earnings record really is the one that should wait the longest. Because when one of the couple passes away, the survivor is only going to get the bigger check. He or she will not get both checks, but they will get the bigger one. And so that's why my plan in my situation is to wait as long as possible. I plan on waiting until my late 60s or 70 to claim. I will say that if you wait to 70, what we call, we do the math and say, okay, you did not get checks for the last several years. So how long is it going to take you to break even and get ahead of the cumulative total you would have received from Social Security if you wait until 70? The answer is in the 81 to 82 year old range.
Okay? Okay. Well, that's most of us.
I think it is most of us. I think there's a lot of us, you know, I mean, my father lived to 93. I had an aunt that lived to 97, you know, and my mother passed at 77. And so that's the thing for me. And then I saw the news today on OJ, you know, passing at 76. And I'm like, well, damn, if I'm only going to make it to 76, I need to claim earlier than 70. And so,
yeah.
So that is the hard part to know, guys. When you're claiming Social Security, you got to look at life expectancy and longevity. If you're in good health and you've got a lot of longevity in your family, you may be better off waiting as long as possible. But at the same time, I want to mention again, we've mentioned it a few times before, there's a bill pending in Congress right now called You Earned It, You Keep It. This bill is trying to repeal the federal tax on Social Security, and they will do that. They will pay for it by reinstating the payroll tax for people that have higher income, 250 and above. Because right now, when you get to around 170 in income, you're no longer paying into Social Security. For some reason, Congress decided to put an income cap on your Social Security payroll tax. They did not do that with Medicare. So even if you're Taylor Swift and you make $1 billion, you're paying that Medicare payroll tax all the way up the whole time. The problem is these high earners like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and all these people that are making crazy amounts of money, they don't pay any more into Social Security than the person making $170,000. And what I'm saying is everybody should pay the same percentage, right? Whether you're making 40 grand or 400 grand or 40 million, you should pay the same percentage into the program. And if they would just pass that law, pass this bill, turn it into law, then they could repeal the federal tax for everybody getting a Social Security check, and it would extend the life of the program for another 20 years.
Pretty far down the road, not a bad thing to do.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, call your congressperson, call your representative, go to the AARP website. Steve has talked before. There's information on there to make it real easy to voice your support for this bill.
Sure. Yeah, you just go to AARP. It's on the top. There's something that it says Social Security, and you go right in, and there it is. It's a little form that you can customize to send, and they make sure it goes to where you are because, obviously, it knows your location.
Exactly. I've been talking about it. I really wish they would start talking about this on the evening news or every other news channel, every newspaper. I think it should be a front page story because I feel like this should have support from both sides of the aisle. Obviously, the high earning people aren't going to be for it. But if we're really concerned about lowering our debt, then we need to stop this nonsense talk about cutting taxes. All right. We can't be cutting taxes if we're really concerned about our debt. So we need to figure out what we're actually going to do. But pay attention to that bill about Social Security. The program needs our help. And if we want it to be there, we need to let Congress know that they need to support this bill.
Sure. All right. Good advice, Kevin. And give me your thoughts on this week in the market. We've got to wrap it up, but give me your thoughts.
Yes. No, you know what? The economy is very strong. In fact, unemployment now is below 4% for the longest stretch since just after World War II. That's how strong our economy is, all right? So any purported news station that says the economy is not doing well is just lying to you, all right? The economy is doing well. I say stay invested, stay the course, make sure you're not taking too much risk, but stay the course, and when the market drops and you see weakness in the market, that's when you want to be a buyer, okay? Do it like Buffett does, and you want to buy when other people are afraid.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact.
What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation. 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.